Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book I do the review and talk about it here on the podcast. Today I'm talking about a book which is quite a recent release. It's newly out on Audible anyway. It's called The Caledonian Gambit by Dan Morin, just published this year. And the reason I reviewed this one is that it kept on showing up in my Twitter feed and other people were recommending it. I was like, oh, this has got a bit of buzz around it. And it had the same similar name to Nine Fox Gambit, which was one of my favourite books of last year, and the Caledonian Gambit. I was like, oh, this sounds good. And then I realised I was totally in a bubble because it's actually written by Dan Morin, who is one of the one of the regular panelists on the Incomparable podcast. And he wrote this book, and he was tweeting about it, I guess, and his friends were tweeting about it, and because I follow a few people who I listen to on podcasts, on Twitter, I guess those people were talking about it. So, but anyway, I thought, well, I'll just give this a go. Once it comes out on Audible, I'll give it a go. And so I did. Oh, yeah, the other reason is because they did an episode of it on the Incomparable podcast, which I haven't. I only listened to the first 2 minutes of that podcast and worked out what was going on with that. So I will go and listen to that after this as well. So if you want to hear more about Dan Morin and his writing process or his publishing, how he became a published author, you can check out that podcast over on the Incomparable podcast, which is normally good fun, although I haven't, as I said, haven't actually listened to that episode myself yet. All right, so this book is a bit weird for me. I'm not quite sure how to review it, because it's one of those books where, as I started it, I had one opinion of it, and then as it continued, I had a different opinion of it, and then as it got through the middle section, I had, like, a different opinion on it. So just to explain what I thought this book was about, let me put it this way. This was my reading experience. I got it as an audiobook. Now, I generally, if I know if I'm going to listen to a book or read a book anyway, or even watch a movie, I tend to avoid as many spoilers as possible. I don't read the blurb, I don't watch trailers, I don't listen to other people's or read other people's reviews of whatever it is. And so in this case, I just went into this book pretty much completely cold, not knowing anything about it. And it starts off with a space battle. And I thought, okay, space battles. Right, it's set, you know, a few hundred years in the future. There's wormholes in space. There's this empire which has risen up and has taken over these different planets. And it's going to invade another planet. And this other planet is going to defend itself. And but the viewpoint is from the invading army. So you're like, oh, are these the good guys? Are these the bad guys? It's not quite entirely sure. However, space battles. And I thought, oh, this is an interesting space battle. Danger of the invading empire is set up quite well, the stakes are pretty well defined, and I was like, oh, okay, this is military science fiction, space battles book. And then the space battle ends, and at that point, it turns out that was kind of like the opening, the prelude, whatever you want to call it, the prologue. And then it goes, 5 years later, a pilot who was involved in that battle is on this planet, and he's been cleaning toilets for 5 years, whatever, and these other people come and talk to him, and then it really seemed to slow down a lot. And I was like, wow, this is really slow. And for the next sort of, like, few hours, it's like a 10-hour audiobook, and then for the next 2 hours of the audiobook, I'm like, this is really slow, nothing's really happening, they're just, like, traveling to a different planet and meeting somebody, and then that person's meeting this person, and I wasn't quite sure why they were meeting, something to do with a weapon or something. And then it suddenly clicked into place. I was like, oh, this isn't military science fiction space battle book. This is spies and espionage and tracking down, you know, weapon projects, and this person talks to this. And suddenly it kind of clicked into my brain and realized what we're actually doing is like a Man from U.N.C.L.E. / Mission Impossible kind of thing, where you've got this team of agents together, and you've got the big guy who fights, and you've got the clever guy who does the hacking, and you've got the team leader who gives a point man and goes in and talks to people and intimidates people, and then you've got the naive guy who's like the other point of view character, and he's just been pulled in, and he doesn't really know what he's asking for, and he's got a history with his family on Caledonia, the planet of Caledonia this is. And so all the way through, then there is a bit more space battle-y kind of stuff at the end, some spaceships flying around, you know, we're going to attack this, we're going to attack the wormhole, we're going to avoid this, you know, all that kind of stuff. That does come back at the end a bit, because the pilot that we meet at the start Eli Brody, he gets more stuff to do later on. But this whole middle section of the book is much more like, oh, there's this spy here, and there's this agency here, and they're going to meet them here, and there's this terrorist group here, and they're going to get this weapon shipment here, and we've got to intercept this, and we've got to sneak into that warehouse, and then we've got to meet up with this guy in this cafe and, you know, nod twice and shake the, turn the briefcase round and cut holes in the newspaper. And it was all this, like, kind of exactly, you know, Mission Impossible, Man from Uncle, spy stuff, caper stuff. And to be honest, I'm totally up for that. And I really enjoyed all that section. However, it was a bit weird going into it not knowing what I was going into. And then, of course, I actually read the Goodreads blurb, and it said, yes, there's a Cold War. There's this this fleet of this one army has been knocked out, and parity has been established between the Commonwealth of Nations and the... I can't remember the name of the empire. The Akkadian Empire. I think I just made that name up from the top of my head. But yeah, so it's that kind of thing. So it's Cold War spy stuff in different occupied cities, and the operatives know each other. You know, both sides know who the spies on the other sides are. It's sort of like, oh yeah, but we're not going to get involved with this person. That's local police, or is it international police, or is it Commonwealth police, or is it Empire police, or different agencies backwards and forwards. And all of that stuff I really enjoyed. And I enjoyed the way that it works with the different point of views of characters is that you've got your main agent guy and his team doing his stuff, but then you've got, like I say, this Eli Brody, who is a very naive, a bit stupid kind of person, never really knowing what he's kind of played from both sides, or like three different sides are playing him at all times. You know, he got away from his homeland and he went off to do his own thing and became a pilot and is now coming back and, you know, catching up with his, you know, his brother and his sister and his, you know, his other extended family and people that he used to know as a child and things. He's catching back up with that, and that's all good fun. But he is a bit of an idiot, and what I liked about the point of views is that when he meets this special team, he just goes, oh, I know this one person's name, maybe I'm not quite sure, is it their real name or not? And then he just says, oh, and there's number two and number three. And it took me a while. Oh, what he calls number two and number three, he only calls them that because he doesn't know their names. But on the other side of the team, we know that there's, you know, this one guy called Tapper and another guy called whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And it's full of these clever little twists and turns. And overall, a very enjoyable book. Again, not that deep. I do enjoy the way that Dan Morin has written, like, the world building. It's sort of like a Scottish... / Irish planet called Caledonia, you know, settled by all the people from the same kind of place. This is a kind of a pretty common trope in science fiction, that there's a planet and it's all kind of one ethnic mix, and they're like represented by, you know, these people are just from Chicago, so it's like a whole planet of just Chicago, and these people are just from the south of France, so it's a whole planet of just people from the south of France. You know, that's been done, and this is Caledonia. Most of the action is set right there on the Caledonia place, and all the place names are places from Scotland, or most of them are places from Scotland, and yeah, he does that, and it's set up that way. But also the science fictional elements, while I think it's a little bit convenient that when there needs to be advanced technology for something, it's more advanced than our current 21st century technology, but most of the time it's like, yeah, people have what's called communicators, they're pretty much iPhones, but nothing, you know, that beyond what we have at the moment. Of course, there's spaceships flying around, but the technology level is kept kind of low, which is good, because if you're doing spy shit, it's really boring if you just go, oh, we need to know who this person is and what this person's doing. Okay, we have, you know, 24/7 surveillance of everyone, and we just go into the computer and check, oh, they were doing this and meeting this. It's very boring, so you have to kind of keep the technology level low to keep spy and espionage and, you know, all that kind of shenanigans interesting. Oh, there's this warehouse. Which warehouse is it? Well, what you got to do? We got to find a map, and then you go in there, and it's a bit boring if you just go Google, what's this warehouse used for? Oh, right, it's used for whatever, you know. It's good to keep it kind of low level. However, what I really enjoyed is the level of technologies in the weapon systems and the wormhole stuff. Again, I don't want to give too much away, but what happens at the start and what happens at the end, it really pays off really well and ties together quite nicely in a way that, like, lots of these, you know, space opera, science fictiony kind of things going on doesn't really work. It doesn't always make sense to me. Sort of like, okay, why wormholes, or why faster than light technology, or why these choices? Why are these systems this far apart and stuff? And I think that the interesting thing about this story is that it kind of starts a new chapter in what's possible in this universe. So it's going to be lots of people, like new things happening as these new technologies come online. I kind of like the balance that's struck in this book between the kind of low technology spy shenanigans and the more high technology space opera levels, which is pretty good. What else have I got to do talk about here? Yeah, I would talk more about like the themes of the book, but there really isn't that many themes of the book, because this is the kind of book, it's like a, you know, page turner. In a way, it kind of reminds me a bit of the Vorkosigan saga, but the better books in that one, where it's more sort of like, you know, people, competent people doing kind of stuff, not like, oh, I have my own private spaceship and just can fly around because, you know, my parents are the most powerful people in this entire planet and I can get away with being a shithead to everyone, but then I'm still the star of the book, whatever happens there, I'm not really sure about it. Here it's sort of like, you know, young people trying to make their way in the world, older people with more experience, doing that. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's more of these books coming in this series. This is a complete story. It's got a start, middle, and end. People's stories are told, but you can kind of see where it's going at the end of the book. You're like, oh, there could be continuing adventures of this spy unit, I don't know what they're called. I think they're called like the special, was it? Oh yeah, it's the special projects team, which I quite like that at the end. It's sort of like, yes, we're the special projects team. I was like, I can totally see there being more special projects for this team to deal with in the future. That's why I said it's like Mission Impossible, because it's the Mission Impossible Force, or UNCLE, which I actually looked up, the United Network Command for Law Enforcement. Yes, it's a special projects team. We have one of each kind of person. We've got what was it? We watched The Man from U.N.C.L.E. the other day, didn't they? They had the heavy guy, they had the knowledgeable guy, they had the team leader, the guy who could speak four languages, the driver, the fighter. You know, one of each of these things and the different... Yeah, it'd be like, yeah, also Guardians of the Galaxy, we've got a team together, this person's a pilot, this person's a whatever, this person's a this person's, you know, and they can drop into any situations and break into any building and subterfuge their way in anywhere that they need to go. So that's all a lot of fun. Oh yeah, and also there seems to be these backstories, not with the main one of these, what's his name, Kavalik or something. Yeah, the main team leader of the special projects team is something Kavalik, but he goes by different names throughout the book. There's some hints that he has had previous adventures. It's sort of like, oh yes, in this place you need to know this person, and these previous adventures where he's gone in and like flipped around the whole command of a different planet's spy agencies, or he's done here and he's got up to no good there but got out the other side and he's done really well. It's kind of, I was like all the time I was thinking, oh, I kind of want to read those stories, and I think that those stories are previous stories maybe that Dan Murren, the author, has kind of had in his head, like as a backstory. It's like, oh, in the past he did this, and the previous team members joined the team in this way and things, and I think there could be some fun future and previous adventures in this book. So what else have we got here? I made a note of some writing. There is some really fun exchanges. The language is really good. Sometimes it's a bit silly, like a bit blatantly silly. For example, one point Eli says, he goes, I suggest everyone find something to hold on to, suggested Eli. And I quite like the idea. I suggest everyone do this, suggested Eli. It's those little funny language playing as well. A beatific smile that wouldn't look out of place in a saint's portrait. And I'm like, yeah, when that's what a saint's portrait... Can a saint smile non-beatifically? I thought when you're beatified, that is what you become when you are... No, you become a saint when you're beatified. I don't know. Anyway, there's some little funny turns of phrase with the language there. Anyway, all to say that if you read this book, you will get all of this, exactly this fun stuff, the fun spy stuff, the fun space adventure stuff. Nothing too complicated. Nice page turner. A little bit slow pacing at the start, but it picks up. Really good ending. All that kind of stuff. And that could be the end of my review, but there is something which kind of was always threatening to spoil my enjoyment of this book. And that is that I waited for this book to come out as an audiobook. And in a way, this is one of the times when I kind of regretted waiting for it to come out as an audiobook. Maybe I should have just read it as an ebook, because I would have got all of that stuff without having to listen to literally one of the worst audiobook narrators I've ever heard. Actually, not the worst, because Wil Wheaton always exists as one of the plainest, boringest audiobook narrators. Listen to my review of Ready Player One for that. Oh, let's actually quickly have a look at his name, because I do have it here. I think it's something Rob Gergak. Where was I looking for? Audible. Yeah, read by Rob Gergak. G-R-G-A-C-H. At least Rob Gergak, I'm never confused about which character I'm listening to. Unlike Wil Wheaton, where it's this weird thing, he just reads all of the characters in his own voice, and you've got to wait for him to do the attribution at the end of a paragraph of someone talking for you to know who's been talking up until that point in a conversation of four different people. Gets really, really bad. At least Rob Gergak, he does all the voices that he needs to do. Great. However, he's an American audiobook narrator who is reading a book called The Caledonian Gambit. Now, Caledonia is... Caledonia means Scotland. It is Scotland in our real world. Caledonia, I should have looked this up, but as far as I know, there's Hibernia, which is like the old Roman name for Ireland, and Caledonia, which is the old Roman name for Scotland, or anywhere north of the Hadrian Wall, or whatever's up there in that land, end of the land, is Caledonia. So I'm okay, Caledonia. Scottish. It would have been really handy if you could have found someone to do an audiobook called The Caledonian Gambit, who could do any Scottish accent even remotely plausibly at all. It's weird because our main character, Eli Brody, or one of our main viewpoint characters, Eli Brody, comes from Caledonia, but he just speaks in an American accent. He just speaks in Rob Gergak's accent, which is fine. He's a main character. We're going to spend a lot of time with him. It's nice that when he speaks, he's like been in the Empire Navy or Army or whatever it is in the Space Navy for a while. He's just got that... that same accent as Rob Gergak. Now, our other guy, Kovalik, or whatever his name is, I think it's Kovalik, because I kept on getting it confused with the airport in Iceland, which is Keflavik. Anyway, Kovalik, he's from the Commonwealth, I guess, and the Commonwealth people speak maybe in an English accent, but I'm never quite sure what English accent he's going for, because at some points he's speaking in like a more of a posh accent, and then he'll just go off into sort of like, oh, you are like other accents, and then the accents just roam around everywhere in like all of these different... There isn't just one British accent. There's like Queen's English or whatever it is, King's English, where you speak and it is very, you know, very clear and a neutral accent. I have an accent which is a mix of different accents, some from the south, a bit from the northeast of England. If I hang out with different people in different places from different parts of England that I've lived in the past, people think I'm taking the piss because I slip into their accents a bit too easy. I'm like, oh, no, I was born in Kent. Oh, no, I lived all this time in the Midlands or whatever. So that does happen to me sometimes. But this is just this roving accent in a way which was so, so confusing. Really confusing. And just to show you, I actually bookmarked a little bit. This is just one example. I'm just going to play it straight from my phone. Hopefully you can hear it here in the microphone.
Shankar raised a white eyebrow. And what brings you here, Mr.? You can call me Fielding. And I've got a business proposition.
Very well.
It's like, you can call me Fielding, and you know what, alright, I've got a business proposition for you. You know, it's just this whole mismatch of different, you know, posh accents mixed with working class accents, some London, some other bits and pieces, just all over the place here. And I was thinking, well, maybe, this can't be intentional. He's just this bad at accents. And at one point, this Kafalik, this character goes, he says, oh, you've got an accent. He's like, well, I don't really think of myself as having an accent. Other people have accents. I don't have accents. And I was like, you've got 8 different accents. You've got like 8 different English accents all at the same time. And then at another point, I was like, oh, maybe his brother is from Ireland? No, like, he's from Caledonia, but is there like Irish people? Like, is there a mix here? And then even at one point, the book says, oh, actually what happened was that instead of getting actors to play things in Caledonia, year, they actually hired actors from Ireland and Scotland back on planet Earth to be in their media, and then that would inflect something and stuff, so there was actually a mix of Irish and Scottish accents going on at the same time. And I was like, yeah, but you can't have done this really random mix of Irish accents and Scottish accents all the way up, which just sounds like bad Scottish accents and bad Irish accents, and never knowing quite what it is. Like, in one person, their accent is just going between them. And then, you know, like a third of the book later say, oh, actually, it's part of the culture that there's actually a mix of Irish accents and Scottish accents here. I was like, but for me, listening as a listener, knowing anything about any of these accents, that's just really, really, really distracting. So much so that Juliana got annoyed with me for always complaining about how distracting these different accents were. Isn't that correct?
Oh, so annoying.
Yeah. What time is it? Is it? Oh, I haven't changed the time on my laptop. I was suddenly like, oh, is it 9:10? No, it's 8:10. Anyway, so I was thinking maybe that he doesn't think he's got an accent, but he does have an accent. He's actually got many accents. Maybe it's all like intentional, but it can't be intentional because there's these different things where he just pronounces the words wrong. Like at one point, they go to a town called Berwick. And I know it's called Berwick because I've been to Berwick. I used to live not that far away from Berwick. Last year, me and Juliana went to a fish and chip shop in Berwick. But it's spelled Berwick. And if you just read that and you've never looked up how to pronounce that town...
I would say it's Berwick.
That's exactly Berwick. That's what the audiobook, Rob Gerger, he says Berwick. And they go to Berwick. And I'm like, it's not Berwick, it's Berwick. And Berwick... Berwick-upon-Tweed, that's what it's named after. You know, they say, oh, they go from Leith, and they go through Oban, and they go through all these other Scottish names that he gets mostly right. Some of them he gets wrong. But then they go to Berwick, and I'm like, so he doesn't... Like, these place names he hasn't even looked up. Like, for example, that's like me saying, oh, he went to, you know, he went to Virginia and West Virginia, and then to Kansas, and then to Arkansas. It's like, no, it's not called Arkansas, is it? You would look that up. If you were a good audiobook narrator, you'd look up how local people pronounce the names of the places that they live, the words that they use. And then at the start, I know, again, it's not correct because, like, he doesn't know how to pronounce words. For example, there's a spaceship, and a lot of stuff happens in the first, like, hour of the audiobook. They're going on and off this spaceship called the Indefatigable. And I know it's called the Indefatigable because that's how that word is pronounced, Indefatigable. And it means, and they even say, there's even a mention of it, like, oh, yes, this ship is called the Indefatigable. It means it never tires. But Rob Gerger, he's always saying, and they got onto the Indefatigable. And I'm like, it's not the Indefatigable. It's like, oh, yes, it means Indefatigable. It means that you're never fatigued. You never get fired. Indefatigable. It's like Indefatigable. And I know it's called, I know it's how it's pronounced, because that's how it's pronounced. I can't even say it now that I've been saying it wrong. I can't say it. Indefatigable. And I know this because it's right there in the War of the Worlds. If you listen to Jeff Wayne's War of the Worlds, on Horsell Common, the Martians continued hammering and stirring, sleepless, indefatigable, at work on the machines they were making. Now and again, a light would sweep the beam of a warship searchlight. Oh no. Now and again, a light like the beam of a warship searchlight would sweep the common, and the heat ray was ready to follow. That word, indefatigable, is so classic in that War of the Worlds record, and that's just how it's pronounced. And so they just got an audiobook narrator to narrate a pretty good, a fun book, a totally fun book. But all the time I was like having to fight against how bad the audiobook narration was. Again, not the worst audiobook narration, but just the mix of accents and the mispronounced words and the mispronounced place names kind of made this a little bit tricky for me to enjoy as much as I wanted to enjoy it. Again, it's one of those times that I kind of regretted getting the audiobook, which is a pity, because normally at this point I would recommend getting an audiobook. Go to audibletrial.com/SFBRP and check out your own membership, get a trial membership of an Audible, and you get a book for free. But I can't really recommend this book. I think it's just badly narrated. Maybe if Dan Moran takes off as an author and he gets another book or another whole series of books done, I really hope I really hope he gets someone who can just pronounce words correctly, and if there's Caledonia people, he gets someone who can do even a passable Scottish accent, or even a passable English accent, if some of the characters are going to have, you know, what's meant to sound like an English accent. Just, like, don't be clever. Don't, like, even if it's someone, oh, actually, this person has, you know, this culture has a mix of Irish accents and Scottish accents. Don't be clever with it. Just do either one or the other, or have some of the characters sounding Irish and some of the characters sounding Scottish. Don't have one brother sounding American and the other sounding like a mismatch of other people, because it just doesn't work. So anyway, audibletrial.com/SFBIP. Get literally any other book than this one, and then get this one on your Kindle or iBooks or whatever. All right, I think that's all I have to say about this book. Sorry that most of it... Actually, let me just go back to my notes and make sure I don't have anything else to say about it. Yeah, Indefatigable, made weirder by talking about it later. Worst poshest English accent ever, made weirder by them talking about it later. Yeah, I've made a note here. And the main character's sister is Irish? Question mark. And they also comment on that later. Yeah, so, yeah, no, that is it. There's more I could say about this, but I didn't take very good notes, so I can't comment too much on even some of my more interesting characters. But I think it's a book that you should just read. It's pretty short. It's a lot of fun. And you can imagine the accents in your head better than Rob Gergek can narrate them. So overall, I'm going to give this book, let's say 4 stars, because the book itself I'm going to remove from the audiobook in my consideration of the audiobook. Otherwise, that would knock a star off it. But this is much better than a 3-star book. So let's give this a 4 stars overall, and yeah, I recommend it. The next book that we're going to reviewing is actually the follow-up to another Gambit book, Nine Fox Gambit. We're going to get onto the Raven Stratagem by Yoon-Ha Lee. Yulian is slowly coming to the end of that book, and we will probably record that audiobook in the next few days while we're on this cruise around the UK, which we're having a lot of fun with. And that's it, yeah. So you can email me, luke@juggler.net. I do reply to every single email that I get. You can recommend books that way. Also recommend books to me via Goodreads. Go along to the SFBRP listener group on goodreads.com and there add a book into books I would like to see reviewed. There's a whole thread where you can get in contact with me that way. And also, if you see what somebody else has suggested there and say, yes, I second this book, I am far more likely to read a book if more than one person suggests it to me. Also, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Luke Burridge there. You can follow me on Instagram. Follow along with my travel and photo taking and juggling on Instagram. I'm Luke Burridge there. Also on YouTube, I'm vlogging there, so you can see even more stuff about travelling and work and juggling and all kinds of crazy stuff going on there. I'm Luke Burridge on YouTube too. Luke Burridge pretty much everywhere. And yeah, and I think that's about it. I'll catch you next time. Thanks a lot for listening.